Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go. I don't sit around outside the bedroom going, God, I love pussy. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but I just haven't had that drive yet. And maybe once I cross over that line, I will. And who knows? Jack was face fucking me the other day. I fucking love it. It's just like, oh, yes. I mean, like tears, they're streaming down the sides. I love that shit. Like the more mucus and the snottier, the better. I hope someday that people listen to me, like roll the clock forward 100 years. And to them, like, this is boring shit. Like, this is like shit their grandmas would listen to because it's so tame. That's how I hope sexuality evolves. Feel wanted and desired. I mean, isn't that what most people want? And I don't feel like I said, like this one off. Okay, now we just used your pussy. You know, I just sort of like pull his hips into me like no, or kick his legs apart. Like, I am back here and get in fucking position. You know, he wants to like stroke himself and not officially have an orgasm, but ruin it. And I'm like, no, you can't be trusted to fucking ruin it. The only ruiner in this group is me, buddy. Did you get the memo? It's not you. You can ask and I can say no. Oh my God, please. I need this so bad. Let me come right now. Oh, fuck, you're killing me. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Happy Tuesday, everybody. How's everyone doing out there in podcast land? Well, I've got some fun questions I'm going to be answering today. And I'm also going to throw in a listener's voicemail because it's fun to do. And it was actually, this guy asked a lot of great questions. I wanted to share the answers with all of you guys. But before I jump into that, guys, hey, I hope you are catching up on all my episodes and staying current. There's so many different places that you can listen to my podcast. It's not just where you normally get it. So you can actually get it directly from my website if you'd like, or any place like, do you guys have an Alexa in your house or an Alexa assisted device? You can just say, hey, Alexa, play the Curious Girl Diaries private podcast, and boom, the most current episode will start. Google Podcasts, Apple, pretty much anywhere podcasts are syndicated, you can find me there. Currently experiencing a little difficulty with Spotify, but hope to have that rectified soon. So if you're missing me on Spotify, I'm aware of it, working on the resolution. Okay, let's jump in, guys, with this first fun voicemail from Robert. He had some great questions, so I wanted to share it. Here it is.
Oh, Leah, I'm starting over again. I started a message and my phone says that it failed. I hope this one doesn't fail. I was just wondering, your podcasts have been really hot, and I've really enjoyed them. But you were talking about the other shoe dropping. I'm wondering if you're worried about Jack and Jill or the other guy who's Nico. That's it. Number one is, are you giving enough attention to Jill? Like, I just wonder if... I hear a lot about Jack, but not a lot about Jill, other than she likes watching you guys. But does she get the same hard fucking that you get from Jack? And have you explored the rest of her body, like ate her pussy and that, to see where you're at with that? You might find that being a new adventure, actually. I know I love eating pussy, so, but I'm a guy. And the other thing is, I'm really shocked that Nico hasn't penetrated you yet. I know you said you play around a little bit, but with such a wonderful man that you talk about, I would think you'd want him inside you all the time and see how well he feels when you're getting fucked by him. Anyway.
All right. Thanks, Robert, for those fantastic questions. Okay, let me start here. I'm glad you enjoy the podcast and that you're listening. I think when you're talking about the other shoe dropping, if I'm not mistaken, that is one of my private podcast episodes. I think I called it Waiting for the Other Shoe to Drop. And you were asking me, what did I mean? Am I worried about who am I worried about or what am I worried about? Well, it's not really that I'm basically worried about anyone in particular. I mean, I think I have a healthy bit of worry. Is that the right word? I'm not sure. I'm cautiously optimistic about everybody I meet always from the get-go. I can't try as I might. Like I cannot get that out of my system. I'm a glass half full kind of girl. And I always have been, much to my chagrin, because sometimes, you know, like that, you get disappointed. And I think where I was coming from with that episode was just, I was saying that everything's just going so well right now. Can it be true? Like there's no drama. There's no impending doom that I'm aware of, right? Some fucked up situation that I find myself in the middle of where I'm like, oh fuck, how do I get out of this? Or, you know, anybody being a real shit bag or dirt bag to me. And I'm used to being out there and dating in the trenches where it's just crazy. You know, there's always something funky sideways going on. And I think that's what I'm saying. It's just kind of like, I'm just sort of holding my breath a little bit like, okay, you know, who's going to be the one that fucks this up? If I had to, and this is not fair, but if I had to say who would be the one to fuck it up, it would definitely be Nico. Only because he's, you know, Jack and Jill are solid. Like they're really just solid people. They're not flaky. They have their shit together and they're solid in their relationship. And therefore I get the benefit of that really strong dynamic when I'm a part of it. And maybe because with Nico, it would just be he and I, and maybe I'm the one to fuck it up. I don't know, but we'll just have to see how that plays out. I really do not know. I'm having a lot of fun with him and I hope it doesn't get fucked up. That will be disappointing, but certainly, you know, there have been guys that all of a sudden, you know, you think it's going along swimmingly and then all of a sudden you start seeing the red flags or something funky or someone gets flaky and you're just like, oh fuck, really? Is it going to turn like this? Here we go. You know, so it's just something that I've had to get used to. It is a downside of casual dating. It's okay. It's just one of those things you kind of have to know that you're dealing with it. It's like, I always say, you got to kind of kiss a lot of frogs or fuck a lot of frogs or whatever. Hopefully you don't fuck a lot of frogs. Just you can hopefully weed them out before things go really funky. But it's just part of it. You know, it's part of the process. So I think that's, you know, that's what I was referencing. I'm just like, gosh, everything's just so much fun right now and going so well. Please don't fuck it up. Nobody fuck it up. So that's what I meant, you know, with that, Robert. I hope that clarifies. And to the Jill question, am I giving attention to Jill? I hope so. And you know, does she get the hard fucking? Oh, fuck yeah, she gets the hard fucking. She gets more hard fucking than I do. I mean, those two are crazy about each other. When I say their relationship's very healthy and they've done a lot of work as individuals. And so when they now are coming together, you know, as a couple, they're just really solid and secure with each other. And their communication is just excellent. I love seeing it. I love witnessing it because it really, it's inspiring to me. It's, you know, I think I'm taking notes, you know, I'm like, okay, note to self. Like this is if I'm ever in a relationship like they have, I want it to be that solid. So they fuck all the time and they love to tell me about it. And I love here's the fun part. They love to talk about me while they're having sex or watch a video of me having sex with Jack or just the flirting that we send back and forth, you know, they'll get hot. Like the last time I was going over there to see Jack, I shot a little video of myself in the shower, just getting ready and, you know, telling them how ready, how excited I am and all this fun stuff, you know, the flirting and the teasing, like that's just fun. I love, love, love all of that. And so, sometimes multiple times a day they fuck. I mean, they're highly sexual with each other. And Jill likes the hard fucking. She's the one that really likes the hard fucking. I'm like, okay, warm me up a little bit. Warm me up a little bit. Then we can go. Then we can go to Pound Town. But I need a little warming up, you know, just to sort of get, I don't know, wake my clit up. I'm not sure what, you know, just I'm wired a little bit differently, as all, you know, all of us are. But yeah, no, she gets, trust me, she's a very lucky woman, and she has an excellent fiance. They have a great relationship, and they are highly, highly sexual with each other. So, and have I explored her body and eaten her pussy? No. I mean, well, yes, I've explored her body, but no, I haven't eaten her pussy. We're still sort of doing like a lot of, I don't know, I would say Jill and I are like on third base, maybe? No, maybe, yeah. What would home base? Home base is going to be eating pussy, I would say. Like, that's a home run. So I'd say we're like on third base. You know, we've done a lot of top play, and we'll touch each other's pussies, and, you know, and just, it's different. I mean, for me, it's really, this whole girl thing is completely different. I'm taking it very slow, and she is too. And that's, I like that, because I don't feel uncomfortable or pushed to do anything that I don't want to do. And she's not pushing herself, you know, to be obviously a way that she isn't. I know that everything that we do together is genuine and sincere. And it comes, you know, it comes from a place of genuinely being turned on. Nobody's forcing it, acting it out just to, you know, make the scenario hotter or steamier. It just feels right. And so I like taking it slow with her. And it's almost like my first relationship with a woman is like back in, it's very reverted. It's like when I was younger and dating, you know, like I'm talking young, before you had sex, like just the slow steps you did, the slow making out, you know, you got went to first base, the second base, third base, you know, you just, it just built, right? And you weren't thinking about, I got to get it in, or, you know, this guy's got to put his dick in me, or she's got to put her mouth on me, you know, on my, she's got to eat my pussy. Like there's no set goal here. And I know that everybody's feeling comfortable, and that's what's important to me. And I know that that's what's important to them. So yeah, I just, she is very satisfied. And I know you think that I would enjoy eating pussy. I just don't know yet. It's just, I don't know. Like, I haven't, there's moments where I feel that I have the desire to do it, right? But I don't sit around outside of the bedroom going, God, I'd love to eat a pussy. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but I just haven't had that drive yet. And maybe once I cross over that line, I will. And who knows? But, you know, you'll have to stick around, Robert. Just be patient. Stick around and let things evolve. Things are going to come to fruition as they should. Okay. And Nico, you're surprised that I haven't let him fuck me. And well, I know that is a little, I get why you would be surprised about that. That sort of makes sense. I it's not for lack of wanting to fuck him. He's incredibly sexy, turns me on a lot, but I'm exploring my role as a dominant, and that's new for me. It's completely new for me. And so I'm trying to use what I respect about a dominant, which is the self-restraint and the self-control. So I'm trying to put myself, modeling that, I guess, right? I'm trying on those shoes. And instead of just being, letting my greedy little pussy lead the charge, I am going slow with it. We're going through things that he would like, you know, his kind of wish list of things, and mine too, which are non-penis to vagina entailed, I guess, if you, for lack of a better word. So we are doing a lot of sexual things, but it doesn't involve him sticking his dick in me. And I know, surprising, right? Very surprising. But it's fun to, I got to say something. It's fun to use that restraint. And I'm a delay gratification type of girl. So, you know, when I was younger and my mom would put the food down, and I'd look at the plate, and there would always be some sort of something I didn't like, because my mom cooked very healthy, and there's always some shitty vegetable I didn't want to eat. Now I love vegetables. But back then, you know, like, let's say there was asparagus. I still don't like asparagus on the plate. I would eat the asparagus first so that I could delay the enjoyment. I would get the yucky stuff out of the way first so that I could actually enjoy my meal and delay gratification. And I would always do that. Like when there's things that, you know, if you have 10 things on your list, you have to do one that you really want to do, the other 9 that you're not so crazy about, I will do the other things that I'm not so crazy about first and wait for the, you know, wait for that final thing as my reward. Now, this is not to say that anything that I'm doing with Nico is shitty compared to something else. Like, oh, I really don't want to do that. And I'm waiting. I'm just doing all this so I can get to the big grand finale here. No, I'm enjoying everything. I'm enjoying all the exploring. And so while I get why it seems a little off character, it is a little bit that I wouldn't be having sex with him. But he and I also, you know, remember now I'm in a throuple. So I have to be considerate of my partners and what we've discussed and what our agreement is. And that is that obviously I'm a single female, so there's, you know, I'm allowed to do what I want, but out of respect for our dynamic, I want to make sure that I'm not bringing anything to that dynamic, little unsuspected surprises that you need medication for, you know, like STDs and things like that. So we're just, that's really at the crux of it. And I have spoken to them about that. I mean, this is a full disclosure thing, right? They know that I'm a single female. I could run across a guy where I just lose my mind and fuck the shit out of him. Then I'm going to have to say, oh, I got to go. Let me take a test before I can go back into the fold, into the throuple, right? And so I'm just trying to avoid that, you know, and things are really great with Jack and Jill. So it's just fun to, I got that going. I'm definitely want to fuck Nico, but it's fun to tease him. I'm finding the teasing is just very fun, you know, and all the things that he wants to do are right up my alley and I'm having fun with, and it's just really been good. So hang tight. I'm sure at some point that will happen. You know, if he sticks around and he and I stay playing, we continue to play together, which I hope we do. That'll come at some point. But remember, he also has to earn that. Like, he has got to earn that. That's just not something that he's going to get right away. He's got to earn it. So that's part of the tease and denial. Okay. Great questions, Robert. Thank you so much for being a listener. And thank you for being a private podcast listener. I love that. I love that you're asking questions about that. That's fantastic. Okay. Here's the next one. This is from M. Says, love your show. What's changed over the 7 years? Anything notable? Oh, holy shit. That's a broad question. And fuck yes, a ton has changed over the 7 years. Have you been listening? Oh, MMM. Okay, go back and here's what you need. Here's your assignment. I'll be bossy with you. I'm going to dominate you right now. Go back and you need to, your challenge, if you choose to accept, is to go back and listen from the very beginning. I'm always trying to get you guys to encourage. I'm encouraging you, right, to do this. Go back and listen from the beginning. It really is meant to be listened like you watch a series. It builds. Everything has changed and evolved. It's crazy. If you go back and listen to some of the shit that I said I would never do, this is a lot of, it's very basic stuff. It's not crazy out there stuff. It was just me with my very shockingly bunged up opinionated point of view, which I still have that side of me, but I've expanded it. If I'm going to be bunged up, it's going to be about something super racy, not something like face fucking, which I said I never like, didn't like that. No, don't take my head and cram it down on your dick. Like, I hate when guys do that. No, I mean, I have totally, like, Jack was face fucking me the other day. I fucking love it. It's just like, oh, yes. I mean, like, tears, they're streaming down the sides. I love that shit. Like, the more mucus and the snottier, the better. I don't know. It's just, I love it. It's hot for me and very fun. So yeah, a lot has changed. I'm trying to think if there's anything else more notable. It's just me. I mean, I've really, really evolved and changed. Just a lot of my perceptions, thoughts, and ideas around sex have changed. I now realize how important it is to me. I see how much I can learn about myself by putting myself in these sexual scenarios and these sexually open scenarios. It taps into every kind of human emotion you could possibly have on steroids. Like, if you have an insecurity or you have something you need to work on, or it's boom, it's like holding up a mirror, you know, it's going to bring that shit up so fast. And some of it I like, and some of it I don't like, because, you know, it's hard to have to see flaws and things that you said that were stupid or or not well thought out or what you really believed at the time. And now you just go, oh my gosh, or even just how you were duped or foolish, you know, or how you put your trust in the wrong person, or just there's been so much. Like, literally, that is a tough question to ask. If you want to narrow it down and get back to me and just say, like, how about, what have you learned? What's changed in 7 years with blowjobs, or what's changed in 7 years with one-on-ones, or, you know, just kind of, this is a real broad question, so I'm struggling to answer it, but there's a lot that's changed, and my eyes are open, and I just feel like the same person, but on many levels, very, very different. And I'm proud of that fact. So there we go. Let's see. Okay. The next question, T. This is from T. You keep talking about expanding the private podcast into a community. When is that community coming? Coming in quotations, C-U-M-I-N-G. When is that coming? Well, I'm actually working on it right now. Not right this second, obviously, but I expect it to be done by the end of the month. And I don't know when this actual episode will air. So that would be at the end of March is when I expect it to be done. I know. I'm sorry. I have been talking about it because, you know what? I get excited and sometimes I let the cat out of the bag too soon. And something I need to work on is, it's just like when I'm excited about something, I like to share it. I like to talk about it. And I that's just how I am. It's hard for me when I'm super excited to keep it bottled up. But yeah, it's just me figuring out how to structure it right and appropriately. But I have a test version of it up right now and that I'm, you know, playing around with adding content to. Also, here's the most exciting part about the community for me is that I'm going to do lives. Guys, I'm going to go live. Yes, you're actually going to get to see me, parts of me. Now, I don't know if I'm going to show my whole face. I don't know. If there was ever a place I would do it, it would be there. It would be in my, you know, my curious community, and which is really an expansion of the private podcast is really what I'm doing. I'm just making it more, adding more to it. It's the private podcast and the community and lives and different challenges and different things. You know, I really kind of want to bring like-minded people together and just have a place where, you know, and if I'm on there, it'll be fun because there's a section that's live where I go live. Or if you're in there, you can just chat with someone that's in there. It's like, who's in there? Who, you know, and if I'm in there and, you know, you'll see my little green light on, I might just jump on and chat with you, you know, if I have a minute. So it's kind of like, I'll still do the voicemails, but it'll be like maybe you can actually catch me in there and just chat with me live that way. So I'm looking forward to that because I really want to know about you guys. I really do. I feel like the voicemails have allowed me to get closer to you guys and to know more about your lives and what's going on with you and, you know, likes and dislikes and all that good stuff. And so this is really exciting for me to finally have more of a link to you. And so it is coming in quotations. I'll have a big orgasm to celebrate once it's done. Yes. I mean, I'm very excited about it. So. Okay. Thank you for asking. I'm glad that you're looking forward to it. I hope other people are too. I think it's going to be just fun. Just, you know, just one more way that we can all sort of communicate better and you guys can have more access to me. Okay. Let's see. What's the next one here? Okay. The next question is from L. Says, I don't think I've heard anyone who loves sex as much as you do. Do you think you're over-sexualized? Is there some trauma in your background? You don't think you've heard anybody that loves sex as much as I do? I don't know about that. Wow, that's sort of a big hurdle right there. You really kind of put me up there on a pedestal. I think there's a lot of people that probably would give me a run for my money that love sex just as much, if not a lot more. I mean, look at how people are devoting their lives to it. I think I am a small fish in a very big pond. I would like the pond to expand because I don't think that sexuality is talked about as much. It should be like what I'm doing should be completely normal. The stuff I'm talking about, like I hope someday that people listen to me like roll the clock forward 100 years. And to them, like, this is boring shit. Like, this is like shit their grandmas would listen to because it's so tame. That's how I hope sexuality evolves. I hope it just becomes this thing that's not taboo. And, you know, and when it's not, I won't be so visible. It won't matter, you know, because it's already out there and people can talk about it amongst themselves, amongst their friends. They don't need to turn to, you know, a podcast, an anonymous podcaster talking about her sex life. That's really what I'm hoping for. And if I play a small little part in that, great. So I don't mind that you think that I am, you know, at the top of that hill, but I don't see it that way. I really feel like that climb is steep. And there's a lot of work to be done in between now and then before this just shit gets normal. And I, you know, I also feel like, honestly, I just feel like relationships will be more successful. Marriages will be more successful once it's actually acknowledged how important and vital sex is for individuals as well as couples. And that we start changing the way we see sex and sexuality. And it becomes part of our normal dialogue. I think that, you know, people should have 6 months sexual therapy, sexual counseling before they can even get a fucking marriage license, quite frankly. It would force people to have conversations and not even really force them, because I don't think it's that people don't want to have dialogue about it. It's that they just don't know how. It's just, we did not grow up being taught that, hey, you know, before you pick a life partner, you might want to know what their outlook on sex is. Do they plan on not wanting it at some point? If that happens, how will you address it? What are you comfortable with? What should be the action steps? How should you bring it up? You know, I mean, just there's so much ground that we need to gain on all of this. People, like I said, people just get married all the time without ever even talking about what their goals are for their relationship sexually, what they'd like to see happen, and how to handle mismatches, because that stuff will happen for the most part. You know, people will get busy, they'll get sidetracked, they'll get depressed, their chemicals, hormones, age, children, you know, so many different things are going to come in and exert pressure on that. And so what do you do when that happens? And, or what do you do when you find yourself in a dead bedroom, or, you know, like just all this stuff, it really should be on the table. And so I know I kind of went off on a tangent there. It's just that I don't think I'm over-sexualized. I think I'm talking about a normal, basic human vital need, and I'm talking about it openly. And I hope that resonates with people. And I think it does. So I'm going to keep doing it. And to, you know, the trauma question, no. I mean, I think everybody's got some, you know, trauma is that's a generic term. But if you're talking about any sort of like physical assaults or rapes or things like that, no. And my heart goes out to anybody that does have that, you know, but that's not what's underneath all of this. So I think that was just kind of your way of asking if that's what's underneath all this. And no, it's not. It's just, I stumbled on it. I realized I wasn't, you know, I was denying myself this part of me component. I was on a quest to figure out why. And I knew that the only way to figure that out is to just jump in with both feet into the deep end and start going after and experiencing things that I wasn't, and that, you know, I hadn't made a priority. And so I very quickly was able to overhaul my non-existent sex life in 10 days, literally 10 days. So these things can be turned around quickly, and you can make changes if you want to. It's really easy to do. But go back and listen. I'm going to keep plugging that. Listen to my full catalog, guys. There's like 370 episodes. I don't know, something like that. And they're fun and hopefully thought-provoking. Okay. Thank you, L, for that question. Okay, let's see. What's the next one here? This is from Jay. I've been trying to find you on Field. What's your handle? Jay, I don't give out my handles like on places I am, the dating apps and things like that. It just, I don't know. I'm not going to answer that. You know, I think I give out enough information that you could probably find me. You know, I tell people I live in Florida. There's a start right there. Let's just, you know, do a search. I mean, right now on Field, it's just growing and growing. I can't believe it. Like every time I get on there, I'm like, holy shit, what is going on? I've got like 1400 connects, meaning people have, you know, now that's just someone saying it's probably, they probably don't even read my profile. They probably just go, oh, I like her face, bink, you know, and then like me, you know, or whatever, or connect with me. Like they open up the lines of communication, because that's what you have to first do, is like connect with someone. Like, okay, I want to connect. I haven't been able to get back to everybody, obviously, probably not even 1% of that. No, not even 1% of that. So it's just one of those things, I guess, come and get me, come and find me. Actually, speaking of that, there's one website that right now that it's on my shit list. And that's I've talked about them before. It's AFF. Oh my God, those fuckers. I've been off of there for a while, just taking a break from it, hid my profile. And, you know, that's just meaning you don't want, you know, you just, it's not deactivating. It's just hiding your profile because you are allowed to do that and take a break. Well, come to find out, and I, you know, you set your privacy settings, right, where you don't want, or never want to be included in their any sort of advertising, their email marketing, none of it. So I've always had that option selected. Do not use me in your newsletter. Don't publish pictures of me. No, no, no. You don't have the rights to do that. Well, lo and behold, I get some listeners reaching out saying that they see my profile in an AFF email. And I was just like, oh, fuck. You know, like, really? So I sent them an email about that, and have not heard one thing. But that's just the first email they're going to get. The next one's going to come from a more official source. So I take my privacy very seriously. And that was a violation of it. It was a violation of their terms and service. It was also, I call fraud at the inducement, because the newsletter says right at the very top that we only send people in this newsletter that are active. I was not at the time active. I was hidden. So they're implying that, hey, you know, they're pumping me up, showing my pictures, like, oh, hey, reach out to her. Well, if you hit that link, it says this person is not a thing, you know, is taking a break right now or what, and you don't get to see my profile. So and my profile was hidden for months. So it wasn't like there was no weird timing there. They are just, well, not being straight up and honest. And that stuff I don't like. So anyway, I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes, but they need to make it right with me. That's really, it's unnerving, and it makes me uncomfortable, and I certainly am not okay with it. And I didn't consent to that. And, you know, they violated their terms and service agreement with me. So we'll see where that goes. All right. The next question here, N. This is from N. I'm loving all the Jack and Jill stories. Tell me why you picked them as a couple. My wife and I are having a hard time finding all elusive unicorn. Well, I didn't pick them. They picked me. Actually, Jack did. He was diligent on there. Jill was like, I think she'd been, you know, more like, hey, you do the heavy lifting. So he was really the one on there sourcing. And I'll tell you this, it pays to be first. It pays to, when somebody's new, like, snatch them up really fast. Guys that have done that with me have always fared well. And he reached out to me. I was on there, and I think the first day I was active, you know, he saw it and he started chatting with me, and I just really liked his vibe. Their profile is nice. They have, you know, they say the right things. They have the right pictures. They look just like a nice, normal, decent couple. And that's what I'm looking for. And I was very comfortable chatting with him. He was good about keeping the conversation going, moving it forward. And I just felt super comfortable from the get-go with him. And as it turns out, as I got to know them, the story got better and better and better. Usually it goes the other way, right? You know, you're like, oh, this guy's so hot, or this couple's so sexy. And then you meet them and you're like, they're fucking weird. You know, like, bunch of weirdos. I do not want to get naked with them. But it, everything was amazing. And they're excellent communicators. They put it out there. I love that. I love people that are straight up, that aren't just trying to push an agenda or a certain facade because they think that's what's going to score the most points, when really it's not who they genuinely are. If you are who you genuinely are, you will attract people that are genuinely looking for those types of characteristics and things about you. If you are catfishing or being dishonest, or especially with couples, trying to use that person as a band-aid, or, you know, to patch over something in your relationship that isn't right, that is going to reveal itself very quickly. And it's going to be obvious. And you can feel, you know, when you're with that couple that doesn't get along, they always argue and bicker. Like, that makes you, you know, you're sitting there, they'll have an argument right in front of you, and you're kind of like, makes you feel very uncomfortable, you know, and that's just never been their vibe. They wanted to go slow. They want to connect with the other person, which to me, that was probably the biggest thing, that they made me feel like, hey, you're important too. It's going to be three of us, and we want to get to know you, and we want you to be a part of our lives in and out of the bedroom. And so I never just felt like this blow up doll that they fuck and then great when I'm around, but, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I know that from all the fun stuff that they tell me and send me, you know, about how they're looking at my pictures, masturbating to them, and just, it's just fun, you know, like this, I'm included, and I feel wanted and desired, and I want and desire them. And so that's the fun part for me, is that feel wanted and desired. I mean, isn't that's what most people want? And I don't feel like I said, like this one off, okay, now we just used your pussy, now get the fuck out. I mean, not that I'm so sensitive that I can't handle that stuff. I've certainly been the recipient of that before. And if I'm telling the truth, I've dished it out on some levels, right? Where it's just like, I want to masturbate on your dick. You guys have heard me say that, but I'm upfront about it, right? I mean, everybody doesn't fit that perfect box, but they can be good for certain things as long as everybody's on the same page and it's mutually agreed to. I never want someone to feel that it's inequitous, or that if they don't want me to masturbate, just masturbate on their dick, that if that bothers them and they want more of a connection with me and they're not getting it, then I would want to know that. I would really want to know that. If they're feeling something that's making them uncomfortable, or just, you know, that they're not so happy about, then I want to know. And so my suggestion to you, Anne, is just that maybe, I don't know what kind of vibe you're putting out there, and I don't know who's doing the approaching, and I don't know how it comes across, but everything, I just feel like, you know, we're all on the same group chat. We don't circumvent each other. It just, and like, I know how solid Jack and Jill are, and that makes me, as a part of that, makes me feel good and makes me feel solid. So maybe there's just a vibe you're giving off that you're unaware of that is not drawing in the right unicorn. All right. Well, I hope that helps. Keep me posted. I'd love to know how it goes, and if you guys find someone. Okay, next question. This is from W. I think Nico sounds so sexy. Sexy as fuck. I'd love to know more about how you dominate his ass. Did you mean like literally his ass, or, you know, like he's sexy? Like, how you dominate that guy? Are you using ass interchangeably with guy or actual ass? Because I can answer both. Maybe I should just answer both. How do I dominate his ass? Well, butt plugs, spanking. I'll use the pinwheel on it, and they'll, you know, like get it all fiery red. Give him the belt. Stick the butt plug in. Just sort of like, I like coming up behind him and grabbing his hips, like, and just like when I'm spanking him or whatever, when I put his butt plug in, and then just like moving him around a little bit, even though I'm not, you know, he's a guy. So it's not like moving a female around, you know, I just sort of like pull his hips into me, like, no, or kick his legs apart. Like, I am back here, and get in fucking position, like move, spread him. Oh, how else do I dominate his ass? Then, I mean, so then if you're talking about just dominating him, like personally, it's by denying him. It's by giving him little tasks, telling him what to do, denying him when he's like, can I just, I'm so horny. Can I just ruin, or, you know, he wants to like stroke himself and not officially have an orgasm, but ruin it. And I'm like, no, you cannot be trusted to fucking ruin it. The only ruiner in this group is me, buddy. Did you get the memo? It's not you. You can ask and I can say no. I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with that, playing around with it. It's really fascinating to sort of put that other hat on and be that, explore my dominant side. I have not really applied it in the bedroom ever, really. I mean, it's just because this is very intentional. So I'm having to think like a dominant. I'm having to plan ahead for our meetups like a dominant. I'm having to check on him like a dominant. I mean, it's weird. I'm used to being in that role, like the other way, you know, like, and I love all that attention coming my way. Like, to me, that's just like, oh, it's fantastic. And it's a challenge for me because I can be one of those people that's like out of sight, out of mind. I think that's why I do these casual relationships very well, because I don't sit there and like pine away like, oh, what's he doing? You know, I just am like, live and let live. And I enjoy when someone's there right in front of me. And it takes a lot for me to get, like, I have to really start to be bonded to somebody to where I'm, how's your day? And checking on them and just communicating like you're in a relationship, right? And so I'm having to sort of remind myself like, hey, that is kind of part of what the dominant's role is. To some degree, you need to be more assertive about making sure that you're touching base with him during the day and that, you know, or enough, right? You don't want to be smothering someone, because I find that as a female trait, like to smother people, I find that unattractive. Like, ugh, don't do that to someone. But I don't mind if they smother me. Isn't that weird? Like, I love all, yes, just send me all the attention. Please, please, please. Like, if you're not chasing me, it's not going to happen. And I'm trying to break myself of that a little bit, like be more, everybody loves to know that they're thought of, right? And so it's okay to put that out there. Where for me, that's one thing that's still kind of hard to do a little bit is, I don't know why, you know, I just don't know why. Maybe I'm lazy. I have no idea. I love all the attention on me. You know, I just love when someone's checking on me. How's your day? You know, you get a voicemail, a message, a phone call. I eat that shit up with a spoon. It's just even a small little thing, just a tiny, hey, you know, send me a quick text. That makes me happy. And so of course it would go the other way, right? But I worry about someone thinking I'm trying to, I don't know, push an agenda that I really am not and genuinely don't want. So I don't know. That's my own shit to get over, guys. But yeah, that's dominating his ass is very fun. All of it. The actual ass and then just him in general. It's my favorite part is just the sounds he makes, the groaning, the begging. It's super, super hot. Like I can't get enough of that. And I never realized how hot it was, because when I would do it, you know, it's just like, it was out of sheer necessity. Like, oh my God, please. I need this so bad. Let me come right now. Oh, fuck. You're killing me. You know? But when I get to be the one that's causing that, it's like, oh, super hot. I love it. Okay. Next question. A, this is from A. How is it possible that all these guys you fuck are just so good looking? Do you ever give us average guys a chance? Well, A, I would say, I mean, it depends on what you're, this is all subjective, right? You know, you're asking me about what does an average guy look like? You might think an average guy, you might think you're an average guy, and I might think you're a fucking 10. So, to give you the reason why all these guys are so fucking hot, I'm using hot as an overall statement. There's the physicality, right? There's somebody's physical appearance. But that is not always what gets me. In fact, generally speaking, I'm just as equal opportunity. I'm probably more equal opportunity than most females, because what I love is when I look at someone and I think, okay, they don't just automatically jump out at me. Yes, they're attractive, but I'm not like going, holy fuck, this is the most attractive man I've ever laid my eyeballs on. Because those guys are few and far between. And same with women. Those women are few and far between. What gets me is their personality, is them, who they are. Like, that's the shit that we're, that's why I'm like, that's why I'll be like, they're so fucking hot. Like, one of the guys that I saw, you know, that I have seen and that I'm just hands down the most attracted to, you know, in this whole Curious Girl Diaries journey, didn't win me over on his looks. He is good looking for sure. But it's just getting, when you get in there and you get to know someone and that bond builds and you know how they look better and better. And so that's why I always refer to everybody as fucking drop dead gorgeous and hot and all that, because to me they are. You may beg to differ. You may think, shit, that person's average at best. Not to me. So to answer your question, I am equal opportunity. I give almost everybody a chance. What turns me away straight up is your personality. That's where I'm really sifting and sorting the fastest. It's not the looks, it's the personality that comes out. And yes, I have certain physical characteristics that I really enjoy, like tallness. That's a thing for me. You know, I've said it before. It's that feeling of being smaller. Like, I really, it feeds into my feminine energy. That feminine side of me just feels like so girly and so feminine. And I love, love, love when I can embrace that. And that just gets to come out. And I will feel awkward and tall and gangly around somebody that's the same body size as me. It's a weird thing. I know, but it's my thing. So you could be like stunning. I mean, you could be a model. You could be gorgeous. And if you're shorter than me, it's like, oh, I can't, something's off. It's I need that extra thing, that extra element. And I hate saying that because there's nothing anybody can do about it, right? It doesn't make you a better person. Believe me, some of these tall guys are perfectly shitty as the next human being. But you know, it's that extra little spice on my taco, you know, that I like. So yeah, that's it. It's not about like just going, oh, that guy's a 10. As a matter of fact, I have a funny, so I used to date this guy that was a 10 and I called him, we nicknamed him Ron Gone Wrong. Me and my friends, I made up this nickname, Ron Gone Wrong, because he was so good looking. He was actually a model, an international model. That's how he made his living for most of his young adult life, all of his 20s. And then reality sets in and then he had to, you know, then he has to actually go out and make a living. And he was socially awkward. The modeling fucked him up. It made him think that, you know, he was terribly insecure. And he was a 10, physical 10. But he would just say the weirdest oddball things because all of his things were easier for him. People came to him. His looks got him far and he didn't have to develop other areas of his personality. And therefore, when that I'm being paid for my looks ride ended, it just, you know, shit got weird for him. And he would come over and when I just did not like, he was somebody I would masturbate on his dick because he was good looking. I'll admit it. Like, so there was that shallow side and this was in my 20s, right? So cut me a little slack, but he would come over and if we would be out that night and I'd be out with my friends and he would be there too, we'd all end up going back to my house. And then I would tell my friends like, do not leave. Nobody fucking leaves this house until he is gone. Cause he's going to try to ride it out. He's trying to wait for everyone to leave. Cause he wants to hook up, you know, he wants to pounce and rekindle things or whatever. And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. So many times, like literally there'd be a standoff. Like my friends would be on the couch and they would be falling asleep and dozing off. And he's just like, when are they leaving? And I'm like, she's not leaving. She's spending the night. So we're going to go to bed now, you know, like trying to get him out the front door anyway. So no, it's just, I'm about who you are. And that's the thing. If there's no deep end in your pool, ugh, I can't do it. I cannot do it. You know, it's just can't do it. My pussy won't get wet. My pussy won't pant. I won't get my lady boner. I mean, yeah, you know, every once in a while I can go there, but it's never good. Like it never is one of those sexual encounters where I'm like, whoa, That really fucking knocked my socks off. I'm so glad I did that. No. And so I learned that a while back, and everybody that I get involved with, I genuinely am interested in them and finding out more. Now, sometimes I find out that they're not so interesting, or they are a shitbag, or it's just like, nope, that thing, that personality, those components in the beginning didn't pan out. And so if all you're left with is good looks, it doesn't do it for me. So I hope I explained that for you, A. Okay, here's my last question. This is from C. Have your orgasms evolved over the duration of the show? I'm a middle-aged woman, and I'm finding that they are weaker. Wondering if you have any types of tips or tricks for that. Well, first of all, I don't know what you mean by middle-aged, because you could be 35 and be middle-aged, or you could be 60. And, you know, if you think you're going to live to 120, you got good genes, you could be middle-aged then too. So, you know, some of this could be hormonal changes, but to answer your question, yes. So I have found that my orgasms have changed. I mean, they've gotten better. They've gotten stronger, and they aren't always the same. So lately I've been having these really long, kind of extended, I guess maybe full body orgasms is what you call it. Like, it just lasts longer. So as your orgasm goes up and it peaks, usually it's like whoop, peaks, you get over the hill, and then it comes down, and then you start you're into the refractory. What I'm having are these longer orgasms that they get up there, it peaks, and then I ride the wave. It's crazy. I'm like, whoa. And there's always this funny look on my face, because I'm still sort of like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, why is it going so long? It's crazy. Are you seeing this? You know, and I'm like looking at my partner going, do you see what's happening? Do you see this? It's bizarre. It feels really great. I love it. It's amazing. But yeah, so I used to have like, they would be very close to each other. So back to back to back to back. Like, I could have one. And then literally this, because I think what it was is like, it's almost like I didn't string the full long ones together. So I could have like 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 short refractory, like almost seconds, maybe 30 seconds after I could feel the next one. It's like, the next one was, I could see it on the wave rolling in. Now it's one big long wave. So it's kind of interesting. And then other days, you know, I think it'll depend on whether I'm tired. Also my partner, my excitement level. Yeah, I'm definitely noticing, you know, a lot of variations to it. Also, I'm noticing that they're more, I don't want to say emotionally driven, but when I, let's say like in my 20s, I could just have them. I just could have them, right? And I was very determined. It's like, I was going to have them. I was going to have one. I'm masturbating on your dick. I didn't need to have a connection, whatever. And, like a robot. And that was fine. And they were, you know, I could do them close together and all that. I have multiples. And now there's days where if I'm not in the right headspace, like even if I'm with somebody exciting, like sometimes I can't come. That doesn't happen very often, but it has happened where I'm like, huh, okay, that's different. And so, and I can feel it in my mood. You know, I'm more, I guess, so the way to put that would be like, I guess I'm more affected by my moods now, and then just it's robotic and I'm masturbating on your dick. I do need more of a connection and some little one, you know, something to hold on to. And then sometimes, not very often, but once in a blue moon, it's like, couldn't make it happen. But that's rare, but it does happen. I just accept it. I'm like, I'm not freaking out. It's like, yeah, I was totally caught up in my head with this or that. So I wasn't fully present with them during the sex act, and therefore, you know, it makes sense to me. So yes, I do believe that your orgasms do change for women. And I think that's quite normal. And I would, you know, if it's bothering you, I would do some research, find what what's holding you back symptomatically, like what are the, you know, like, oh, it gets close and then it drops off. I can't get over the edge. I'm very excited, but I just can't get over the edge. Like that's when my mind is occupied with other things, that is what's happening. I can get stimulated, turned on, wet, and I can get right to that level and then not get over the hump. But like I said, that's very, very seldom. Also sometimes too, like this is why I tell men, don't fuck with a woman's orgasms. Like if she wants to use a toy or she wants to have a specific position to come, let her fucking do it. Trying to dictate what you think is sexiest, but may not be very pleasurable for her, won't go well for you. Let her do what the fuck she needs to do. Because once she is having orgasms and her body's more comfortable with you and she's more comfortable, then you'll, you know, give her what she wants and then eventually you'll get what you want. But that takes time. So don't, and there's nothing wrong since we're all wired so differently. There's just no, there's no right or wrong way to be doing this, to have orgasms and to be having pleasure. So anyways, there we go, guys. I thank you so much for your wonderful questions. I always love hearing them, knowing what's going on with you guys and what you're thinking about. And I love that you, you know, that you'll send me you voicemails and emails. It's just lovely to get the feedback. So I hope you enjoy the answers. Everybody stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Keep the feedback coming. Email me or my favorite, the voicemails. Go to thecuriousgirldiaries.com. There's a pink tab on the right-hand side of every page. You have 5 minutes. We can talk about whatever you want. I'm here for you. All right. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.